All right. If you're in love with Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
I do appreciate your faithfulness. And as Pastor said, this great crowd tonight, what a blessing. You could be anywhere. If you was completely backslidden and under the judgment of God, you could be sitting at SunTrust Park right now watching the Braves get the brakes beat off of them. Somebody help me right there. And so I'm glad to be in church tonight. It has been a great week. Give me all of this you can. I pulled a gear last night. And so I'll be up at 3 o'clock in the morning heading to the Atlanta airport, because you can't go anywhere from the south without going through Atlanta. You know, when the rapture comes, we're all going to Hartsfield Jackson and then connect to heaven. So I'll leave here at 3 in the morning, and around 10 o'clock I'll be in Baltimore, Maryland, preaching tomorrow and Friday. So you pray for me, and I'd appreciate that. It has been a joy. It has been a privilege. I'm thankful for not only the opportunity to minister, but I'm thankful for friends. And there should come a time in your life when outside of your relationship with God, that friendships begin to mean a whole lot to you. More than stuff, more than things, more than places, I'm thankful for good friends tonight. And many of you here have been that to me, and so I appreciate that very much. Take your Bible, if you will, go to the book of John, and find John chapter 19. And when you get there, stand with me, and we'll read a couple of verses tonight, and then I'll give you what the Lord's put on my heart. Now, in full disclaimer, I have not preached what I am about to preach tonight. When Brother Robbie asked me to come starting Sunday night, the series on the cross, I had four messages, but one of them I just didn't feel led to do here. And so the Lord gave me this thought. And how many of you like Krispy Kreme donuts? The rest of you are either liars or backslidden, all right? And I like them. I mean, I like them. I'll eat them any which way you can bring them to me. But I really like them when the hot sign is on. That means they're fresh. And so tonight, if we could, we'd just put up a hot sign, because this is fresh bread, and the Lord has sure spoke to my heart about it. I hope I can say it to you like He's been saying it to me. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day was a high day. It was a big deal. They besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Father, thank you tonight for your precious word. God, touch my body, touch my mind. Lord, I feel rested physically tonight. And I pray that you would now send your anointing. Lord, remove as much of me from this equation as possible. And Lord, may you get glory and may your spirit speak to us through the scripture. God, I'll praise you and I'll give you glory for what you do. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. We began Sunday night and we looked at the cross and how it is defined. How many of you remember that message? Let me see your hand. The cross is nothing more and it is nothing less than total submission to the will of our Heavenly Father. And if you don't understand that, then all of these other messages have meant nothing to you. It is a life of total surrender to the will of our Father. We then saw the cross designed how when we shoulder that cross, when we submit to that cross, that God in His kindness will allow someone to come and share our cross. And I hope that you've shared someone else's this week. Last night we talked about the cross and how it is despised, and how over and over in that text they said, "Come down. Come down from the cross. Prove that you're God's son. Save yourself." And all the while, Satan was trying to get Jesus to abandon his cross. And if he would tempt Christ to forsake his cross, come on somebody, he'll tempt me to lay mine down. And now tonight, I want to thank the Lord for this message. It's really brought this whole series in my own heart full circle. I want to talk to you for just a moment about the cross delivered. The deliverance from the cross. You know, the cross is a heavy, heavy burden. And the cross is weighty. And there is much, I'm going to need an amen right here. There is much unknown about our cross. I mean, you know, if the Lord approached us with a cross and we saw in detail what each one contained, we might be able to make an informed decision. But God does not give us the details of our individual crosses. He rather says, "Trust me. Submit to me. And I'm going to take your life and I'm going to bring you daily into places that require you to surrender to my will." You do understand tonight that our cross changes shapes. It changes forms. It does not always stay the same. Somebody says, "Well, preacher, I had cancer and that was my cross." May I say to you that if God healed you from that cancer, the very first moment that your body was ridded of that disease, you still had a cross. It just wasn't cancer anymore. Somebody said, "I had a rebellious child and that was my cross, and they broke our heart and they strung us out emotionally and we were in great despair spiritually, but thank God now they're right with the Lord." Let me say this, the prodigal may have come home, but your cross has only changed shapes. And that's what the cross is. It is total trust daily that God, no matter where you carry me, no matter what I face, I trust and surrender my life into your will. And the cross is heavy. The cross is real heavy. And at times it's heavier than others. But the weight of the cross, glory to God, the weight of the cross, though it is heavy, it is not an eternal weight. It doesn't last forever. The cross of Jesus Christ was a heavy, heavy cross. It was so heavy that in the wilderness where he was tempted to lay down that deity and his destiny, and it was a temptation. You understand that? Now we know that Jesus could not sin, but it is not a temptation unless it is tempting. Y'all hearing me tonight? In other words, I have never been tempted with a stick of celery. Can I get an amen right there? I've never broke out into a sweat and thought, "Lord God, what I'd do for a stick of celery right now." But now there's a lot of things on the dessert menu that will cause me to want them when I don't need them. And so the temptation of Jesus was not just an offer, it was a temptation. Do you understand that tonight? It was not just the devil throwing something out, but the devil was pulling at him. It was a desirable temptation. But yet Jesus survived that temptation and he carried that cross. You know, I thought about this. Jesus could have just as easily laid down his cross in times of prosperity as he could have in times of peril.
It would have been real easy when the crowd was crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, to say, well, you know what? Maybe we don't really have to go to Calvary. Maybe we can do this thing politically and not do it physically on the cross. But yet, through temptation, through success, and even through suffering on Calvary, hallelujah, Jesus stayed under the weight of his cross.
And tonight we'll be tempted to lay ours down in every shape and form that Christ was. But you know, Jesus did not lay his cross down in prosperity. He did not lay it down in temptation. And he did not lay it down in suffering. But I'm going to need somebody to help me shout like it's Wednesday night and we've been in revival. He did eventually lay his cross down.
There was ultimately deliverance from the cross. And if our whole theme this week is that we will carry our cross like Jesus has carried his, then I want to encourage somebody, don't lay it down when the devil tempts you. Don't lay it down when times are good. Don't lay it down when we're suffering. But carry that cross and say, Father, I believe deliverance is coming, but this isn't it. I'll wait until you say it's time.
I want to show you tonight three truths surrounding the deliverance of the cross. Number one, notice the end of Jesus' cross. The end of his cross. Very simply put, Jesus bore his cross until his death. Can I get an amen right there? I need more than one amen right there. Let's try that again. Jesus carried his cross all the way until his death. On the cross, he suffered and he bled and he gave up the ghost, but he felt that cross until his dying moment, until his last breath, until the last drop of blood had poured out. Jesus carried the cross to the end. And I want to encourage every child of God in here that's under the weight of a heavy cross. We're going to carry our cross, and we must carry it like Jesus until death do us part. You'll carry your cross. Do you understand that tonight? You will carry your cross until death delivers you from that cross. The man that led my dad to the Lord, the preacher that was preaching when my daddy got saved, is also the preacher that was preaching when my great-grandfather got saved. He pastored the same church almost 60 years right at it. He lived to his mid-80s and he pastored the church up into his mid-80s. And he said this to a friend of mine who's now the pastor there. Boy, they'd grown up in that church. He said this, Brother Robbie, in his mid-80s, 60 years of ministry, hundreds of preachers called and sent out, a Bible camp that's reached thousands of children, a Christian school that's reached thousands of children. And 60 years in the ministry, and Brother Roy said this. He said, you know, I thought my cross would get lighter the closer I got to home, but he said, the closer I get to heaven, the heavier this cross becomes. We think somehow there's a retirement point in the Christian life where we can just kind of ease up and back off and things are going to get progressively better. Can I tell you a little verse of scripture that intrigues me? When Peter and John was walking into the tabernacle, the synagogue, or the temple rather, and they were coming in and the beggar asked of them alms. Do you remember what they said? Silver and gold have I none. How many of y'all remember that verse? Now we thank that, glory to God, but they said, but such as we have, we give unto you. Now that's a blessing, but I don't believe they were lying. I believe they were telling the truth. Here are God's two most choice men that have been subdued. They have been given the power to the kingdom of heaven. They can speak and the dead raise. They can speak and the lame walk. But they didn't have a dime in their pocket.
This cross is going to be heavy for a long, long time. And I don't know why we think that somehow we're going to get a bypass out of the difficulty of carrying a cross when Jesus bore his until his dying moment. Yeah. Do you know how the disciples ended their careers? Do you know where they retired after ministry? Let me just tell you. Simon Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like Christ. He said, I'm not worthy. The Apostle Paul had his head severed from his neck. Andrew was crucified on a cross. Thomas died with four spears plunging in his body simultaneously. Philip was tortured until his body ceased to be able to withstand it. Matthew was stabbed. James was stoned. John was boiled in oil and sent to an island, exiled to die in physical pain. But yet somehow we think that because the cancer is gone, our cross is finished. Somehow because we got our children out of the house, that our cross is finished. Somehow because we quit running around with that old crowd, that our cross just got lighter. I want to say to you tonight and put you on notice, this thing's not going to get easier. It's only going to get harder. But child of God, there's coming a good, glad day when we'll feel the weight of the cross lifted. When we leave this world and step into heaven, sure, there is deliverance from the cross. Can you imagine when Jesus left heaven to come to earth? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine as they gathered around and knew that the perfect Son of God would now be put in a robe of flesh and walk on a sin-cursed, polluted planet? Can you imagine the atmosphere in heaven? But then can you imagine what it was like when he drew that last breath? And after he died, and after the work was finished, can you imagine what it was like when he made his re-entrance back into glory? When I was a kid in school, the first Gulf War had just broken out. We lived there where I do now, outside of Columbus, Georgia. A lot of military men in our church. And there was one man in particular that I was very close to and thought the world of. And he was an old boy from Tennessee. He had about five or six sons, all sons at that time. And he was a man's man, a football player and an infantryman. And I mean, just the kind of guy that a boy looks up to. I remember as he had gotten his orders to be sent and deployed into Iraq, I remember me and some other young people from the church going with his family to see him off to that deployment. I remember driving out to Fort Benning, or riding rather, and walking into that big hangar, and those military men hugging their wives, and those ladies sobbing uncontrollably, and those kids clinging to those BDU pants and saying, Daddy, we're going to miss you. I wish you didn't have to go. Daddy, I love you. Those men lined up with tears in their eyes and a solemn look on their face. They were commissioned. They filed onto that plane, and there they went out in the night sky off to the battlefield. Oh, it was somber. Oh, it was heavy. Those ladies sniffling, those children crying. The mood of the whole hangar was heavy, heavy, heavy. But I remember about a year and a half later, hallelujah, when we got word that he was coming home, we got up, we got down to the same hangar, and this time, hey, glory to God, there was nobody crying tears of sadness. Children that had been weeping were now jumping up and down. I remember when that plane pulled into that hangar and they opened that side door, those men stepped off of that plane and that place went crazy. I mean, you'd have thought it was the winning touchdown of the Super Bowl. People was cheering and screaming and hollering. And when they were dismissed, the lines were instantly blurred as families poured their love onto that loved one. And I thought about what it was like in heaven when the Son, hallelujah, was finally delivered from the weight of that cross. You see, since the beginning of time, it had been understood that one day we'll watch him suffer. One day we'll watch him pluck his beard and we'll have to stand silent. One day we'll watch his back be destroyed by the whip and we'll not be able to intervene and we'll not be able to help him. But thank God, when the cross came down, heaven rejoiced.
And I wonder what it's going to be like when those of us that have carried a heavy, heavy cross for a long time finally step out of this world of hurt and this world of weight, and we feel what it's like the very first time to not breathe under the pressure of a heavy cross. Eyes that have never seen will see colors in glory that you and I could not even imagine. Feet that have never walked will skip across the golden streets of that city. Thank God those whose bodies were racked with pain and they drew their last breath in intensive care units and in cancer wards, and they were bereaved by family that wept on their deathbed. What a day! What a glorious day that'll be when the cross is ended.
You see, the cross is heavy, but it's not forever. That's why the apostle said, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Because for the child of God, when we leave, listen to me, if you're living for the Lord, you'll never take one step without a cross on your back on this side. Y'all hearing me tonight? If you're really living for the Lord, you'll never take one breath that's not weighted with a cross on your shoulders. But what a day that'll be when death delivers us from this cross that we've been carrying. We see the end of the cross. And I want you to notice number two. I want you to notice the effects of the cross. The effects of the cross. I'm going to need an amen right here. There are no crosses in heaven. You can search your Bible high and low, and throughout the entire book of Revelation, you'll never find one reference to a cross in heaven. There's no semblance of one. There is no mention of any cross in that celestial city. So I'm going to say it again, see if anybody can get happy about it. There are no crosses in heaven. There are no crosses in heaven. There are no crosses in that city that He has prepared for us. You'll never feel the weight of those burdens again. You'll never feel the sting of those splinters again. There are no crosses in heaven. My cross won't be there. Your cross won't be there. And glory to God, even the cross of Jesus will not be in that city. It's not there. Hallelujah. But the effects of His cross will be there. Glory. Did you know that there are two things in heaven that will be physically apparent that are there because of the cross? The first one is the wounds in the body of the Savior. Don't let anybody lie to you. They're not scars, they're wounds. The Bible says in that day, as He rules and reigns in the millennial reign, that one will come to His throne and say, what are these wounds in thine hands? There's a big difference in a wound and a scar. A scar is where a wound used to be, but a wound is an open place. It is not healed. It is not closed. And right now in the throne room of glory, our Savior still bears the wounds of the cross. But not only are His wounds there as a result of the cross, but glory to God, every worshiper in heaven is there because of the cross. Whew. Do you realize that if it were not for the cross, heaven would only be populated with angels who have had no choice to receive or deny redemption. Do you realize that if it were not for the cross, that there'd be no one crying out, glory to God, bless His name, worshiping the Lamb, except for the beasts that were created to do so. But let me tell you, when a child of God gets to glory, we've got a song that the angels cannot sing. We've got a testimony that the beasts know nothing about, because we have come by the way of the cross. And there are no crosses in heaven, but the results of the cross are everywhere in heaven. Revelation chapter 5 verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Why? For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Look at me tonight. Not one Old Testament saint in heaven is going to say, thank God for the law. Thank God for Moses. Thank God for the Ten Commandments. If it wasn't for the law, I'd have never got in. If it wasn't for Moses, I wouldn't be here. Hey, I don't care if you start with Adam and go down to the last tribulation saint that gets saved. Every one of us will be there because he carried his cross and he suffered and died. I don't count. The cross will not be in heaven, but the effects of the cross will be apparent. Now, if we're carrying ours like Jesus, and if his cross and ours are to be the same, Brother Robbie, whew, hallelujah. Can I tell you something? My cross won't be in heaven, but the effects of my cross will be in heaven. You hear me tonight? My cross won't be there, but what I did with my cross will be highly represented in heaven. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, to lay not up for yourself treasures on this earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt, where the thief breaks in and steals, but he said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. I don't know if you noticed or not, but there are no deposit booths that you can take your cash and put it in and it goes to heaven. He's not talking about financial treasure. He's talking about the days when the cross was heavy, when the burden weighed too much, but you just kept on going and you just kept on walking and you stumbled and you fell, but you got back up and pressed on. And every time you carry your cross, there's treasure laid up in heaven. And that cross won't make it, but what you did with it will be highly represented in that place. Man, I like this little sermon. You know, glory. Jesus carried his cross knowing that only death could lift it. But also knowing, listen to me, but also knowing that the key to being delivered from his cross was to submit to his cross. Some of you are trying to get out of your cross and you're just getting in a bigger mess. And Jesus said the only way out from under this cross is to submit to it. And thank God when death comes, the cross is lifted. Jesus said something, and I love this, in verse 30. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said three words in our English Bible. What are they? It is finished. Say it again. It is. Say it one more time. It is finished. That's three words in our English language. That's one word in the original. And it is the word tetelestai. Yes, come on. Tetelestai is a word that we wouldn't be familiar with, and so we say it is finished. But glory to God. It is finished does not mean it is done. It just means it is finished. It is finished does not mean I am finished. It just means it is done. Now, the word tetelestai, as Jesus cried it out from the cross, he said tetelestai. And in the English, we would have heard it is finished. But that word would have been greatly understood by those alive in that day. Tetelestai is a word that an artist would understand. For after that artist had painted a picture and given it all the detail and stood back and looked at it from every angle and brushed it up and added the fine finishing touches, then that artist would say, Tetelestai, and they would sign it, meaning, glory, meaning there is nothing left to be added. Tetelestai would have been understood by a farmer who is awoken in the night by the bellowing of a mother cow as she is birthing her calf. That farmer would stagger out to the barn and hear the cry of that mother, and when that calf finally comes out and it is breathing and that mother licks the face of that baby and that baby begins to breathe on its own, that farmer would say, Tetelestai, new life has begun and the suffering is over. Tetelestai would have been understood by a general of that day. For many times when the battle had been won, the victorious general would take the defeated general and they would tie them behind their chariot and they would drag their body through the city streets, and the runners would go out in front and they would say, Tetelestai, Tetelestai, it is finished. The victory is won and the battle is over. So can you see Jesus on that cross? He's been under the weight of it 33 and a half years. He's been under the weight of it since the beginning of time, before the Garden of Eden was formed on the planet. And when he cried out to Tetelestai, what he's saying is, I'll never feel the weight of the cross again. I'll never feel the burden of Calvary again. It is finished. Nothing to be added. New life has begun. The victory has been won. Tetelestai.
And one day, you and I will be delivered from this old body of sin. And one day, our broken hearts will be mended. And one day our deteriorating bodies will no longer affect us. And we'll be delivered from all the cares of this world. And I can't prove it, but I wonder if when we die down here, if he wouldn't just let us hit the street of gold hollering to tell us die. It is finished. And thank God, the cross was heavy, but the effects are many. I'll give him a third thought and I'll be done tonight. I want you to notice number three, not only the effects of the cross, but number three, I want you to notice the exchange of the cross. You know, what did Jesus trade when he laid down his cross and he left this world? I'm reminded tonight of all of the weight that he felt. I'm reminded of all the pressure that he must have carried. And I don't think that any one of us will ever understand. I don't think it's physically, humanly, I don't even think in heaven it will be possible for us to feel the weight of God's wrath for every sin ever committed on the planet. But that's what Jesus bore as he hung on Calvary. And when he closed his eyes, and the Bible says he gave up the ghost, no man took his life, he laid it down. And I think that as Christ laid down his life and left this world of sin, what did he trade in exchange for that cross? Can I say to you that he traded the cross for a crown?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Down here they gave him one of thorns and they put a rugged beam upon his broken back. But the Bible tells us in Revelation 19 that when he comes again, he'll have many crowns. He traded that condemning crowd around Golgotha for the celestial praise of millions around the throne. He traded the heartless indifference of those that mocked him for the loving arms of his Father that welcomed him. He traded the dusty streets of Nazareth
for a street paved with pure gold. He traded the stormy seas of Galilee for a land where there's only sun. He traded those dark, lonely nights when he had no pillow for his head, only a stone to comfort him as he rested. And he traded all of that for a place where the sun never goes down and the night never comes. I'll have to tell you, that's a pretty good trade. I mean, that's a pretty good trade to lay down the cross in exchange for all that Christ received. I'll say this and I'll be through. Did you know that there are crosses in the Word of God that are available to the child of God? I won't bore you with a big long Bible study tonight, but in James chapter 1 verse 12, James said that if we endure temptation, we'll receive a crown. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible says that available to us, there is a crown of righteousness. Peter told us in his first epistle that available to every born-again believer is a crown of glory. Also in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, one day we'll have the crown of rejoicing. In Revelation, or rather in 1 Corinthians 9, we're promised an incorruptible crown that will not tarnish nor fade. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, there is the crown of life. May I say to you tonight that there'll be no crown wearers in heaven who are not cross bearers in earth. Say it again. There'll be no crown wearers above who are not cross bearers below. And somebody say, "Oh, I don't want a crown. I just want to get there." I know we got a little country church. We sing out that Redback hymn on, you know, all them songs about heaven. And sometimes people say, "Oh, I don't need all that." I heard somebody say one time, "I don't need a mansion. Just give me a cabin in the back corner of glory." Let me tell you something. I've had a rundown cabin long enough. I'm ready for a mansion. Amen. I want everything heaven has to offer. Amen. And for all you people who don't like shouting in worship, I hope when you get to heaven, I hope your mansion is by the biggest, loudest mouth Baptist you've ever met in your life. And I hope they get out on your front yard every day and just shout the glory down. That's what I hope. I don't know if we're allowed to be vindictive in heaven, but I intend to be. I plan on it. But of all the things that heaven has to offer, it's for us. That mansion, that street of gold. Praise God, that river of life. I mean, all that heaven has to offer is for us. But when we get there and we've carried our cross, and I know there's some folk here tonight under some big old heavy crosses. When we get to heaven, and I just want to stand by the gate and see folks I know that's been under unbelievably heavy crosses. I just want to see the look on their face when they feel the first time what it's like to have that load lifted. And I don't know how it'll all be handled, but what's it going to be like when we're given our crowns because we carried our cross? And you know what we'll do with those crowns according to Revelation chapter 4? We're not going to wear them on our heads and strut around. But what a joy it'll be to come to the throne of our Savior who carried His cross and take those crowns. And the Bible said they cast them at the feet of Jesus. And I just want to say to you tonight that if He carried His cross to provide me with a crown, thank God the least I can do is carry mine and give it back to Him. I'm done. I want the musicians to come if they will. Come on. There's an old song that we sing and I love it. It says, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free?" And I'm afraid that's where the church is living. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? But I like that next line. No, there's a cross for everyone.
and there's a cross for me.
I can't quote it, but the writer went on to say, the consecrated cross I'll bear. And then he alludes to the fact that one day that cross will be traded for a crown to lay at his feet.
Don't you want something to give Jesus when we make the journey home? Don't you want to feel that load be lifted off of you and say, I'm glad I didn't drop it off at temptation's door. I'm glad I didn't lay it down when God was blessing. I'm glad I didn't lay it down when suffering was heavy. But I'm glad that I carried my cross all the way. Woo! All the way till I crossed the finish line. And I traded that cross for a crown. Or maybe five or six of them. I want that tonight. Will you stand up with me all over this building? I really hadn't given a detailed invitation, but I feel led to tonight. It's my last night. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If the Lord's dealing with you, you can come on and come. But I wonder who'd slip up a hand and say, preacher, I'm under a heavy, 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 heavy cross. I mean, there's some things that I don't know how I'm going to make it. Mentally, spiritually. Preacher, I'm under a heavy cross. Can I see your hands? Even on the altar, you feel free to lift them. I'll see it. You can put them down. Some of you, I can see it in your eyes. Some of you, I can see it in your physical demeanor. It's got you beat. But I want to say to every uplifted hand, Jesus knows how you feel. Because His was so heavy that He stumbled under it. But aren't you glad that He carried it across the finish line? One day death will come, and though bitter in this earth, it's sweet in eternity to feel that cross lifted. I want to pray for every one of you tonight, but I want you to pray for yourself. And I want you to come, and I want you to find a place around this altar. Every hand that was lifted ought to make a move to this altar and say, Lord, help me to not lay down my cross. Help me to push on. Help me to carry on until death sets me free. All over this building, many are come. I'll give it to the pastor. You do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do tonight.
Heads bowed, eyes closed, if you will. I want to say this tonight from my heart. I know there's some folks in here that's been tempted to lay down the cross. I want to encourage you tonight to shoulder that cross and to carry on. I know there's folks in this room tonight that under heavy suffering, thinking, Lord, I can't take it no more. I encourage you to continue to carry that cross. May somebody in this church, as somebody, as a young person that needs you to carry that cross. Tonight, the Holy Spirit has been dealing with some. We've already had one get saved tonight. And no doubt God's dealing with others. So I'm going to try to mind the Lord tonight and give an invitation for salvation. Tonight, if you're here, it's not by coincidence. God had a prepared message for you and a prepared man to deliver it. Tonight, if you be honest with me, I'll do my best to help you. But you have to be honest with me. If you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? simple question, but it has an eternal impact. I didn't ask you if you were 99% sure. I didn't ask you if you thought. I asked you if you know where you'd spend eternity. If you'd be honest with me tonight and say, "Preacher, I do not know where I would spend eternity." Nobody's looking around. I want you to just slip your hand straight up. I'll not embarrass you or come to you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else? "Preacher, I'm not sure." I see it. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Not trying to embarrass. I just want to know how to end the service. Is anybody else? Before I pray, "Preacher, I do not know." Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen these that have raised their hands. God, you know their heart. Lord, I thank you for the messenger tonight. Lord, I'm just doing the best I can to end the service the way that you would have it. God, I know you're moving, and Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that we not ignore it or put it aside, delay it, thinking that we'll just do this some other time. Lord, I pray tonight will be the night of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd work in these people's lives. Lord, that they can lay their head down on a pillow tonight knowing where they'd spend eternity. With heads still bowed and eyes closed, if you raised your hand, I want you to listen to me. I want to help you, but I can't help you if you won't let me. It's your choice. It's your decision. But tonight, you can leave here knowing where you'd spend eternity. If you'll let me help you, I want you to come right where I'm at. Amen. Anybody else? I don't need help. Don't look up. It's your choice. It's your decision. It's the same way I did it. I'm not asking you to do something I didn't. I had to make a conscious decision of where I was with the Lord. The Bible tells me where I am. I had to acknowledge that I was a sinner. And on my way to hell. Not on my way to trouble, on my way to hell. But there was a Savior who bore a cross. He laid his life down on that cross and he bore my sins. That Sunday morning I put my faith in him. I walked an aisle just like I'm asking you to do. Came down and took a preacher by the hand just like I'm asking you to do. I got a man from the church who took a Bible and showed me how I could be saved. And I'll do the same for you if you'll let me. Won't you come right here to where I'm at? Your choice, your decision. Amen. Is there anybody else? Head still bowed. Anybody else? You come on. I'm still standing in the same spot right down front. Anyone else?